Good morning. I am truly humbled to stand before you this morning and see, the great part about this is we get to give David a hard time a little bit later because he forgot the second song, but that's okay. Let me get this on real quick, sorry. Okay, again, good morning I'm truly humbled for the opportunity to stand before you today. I don't feel, you know, I never feel worthy or feel like to be the right one to stand and deliver a message, but, you know, I do seek your prayers and ask an interest in your prayers as I share what I feel led to share this morning. First off, our brother and sister Case weren't in here this morning when we recognized 76 years of marriage, which is awesome, and congratulations, and what a great example for each of us, and 76 amazing years, which is fantastic, and we're thankful for that, and we're thankful for the two of you. So, this preparing my thoughts for today and preparing the message for today, a lot of thoughts on my mind, and it's been kind of, I'd say this sermon's been kind of stewing in my mind for a couple weeks. Our brother Dan reached out to me a couple weeks ago asking if I would preach. We were looking at later in August, but it ended up, this was the Sunday, and so I'm thankful for this opportunity. So I've got a mixed message. I'm going to send you a mixed message by the title on my screen. Joshua, Jericho, a child. I really just put that on there to spur your thought. I'm not going to talk about any of them. No, I'm joking. I am going to talk about them, but really driving towards a different point that I want to try to drive at today. And again, spark a thought in our mind and hopefully something that we carry with us today. I want to start, and if you would, turn with me to Matthew, the 18th chapter. And if you want to follow along in your scriptures, great. If you want to follow along, I've got most of the scriptures, not all, but most of them up on the screen. And so I want to start a thought. And a lot of times when we have an opportunity to stand before you and preach a message, you know, we start with how we prepare and what we prepare and the thoughts that we prepare, how we prepare as far as offering prayers and seeking the direction of the Lord. And I can tell you this sermon today started a completely different direction. And it was one that I really wanted to talk about Jericho, and I wanted to talk about the story of Zacchaeus. And that's where I had started, and that's where I started to begin. I sat down yesterday afternoon. Braden and his girlfriend Anya are here in town with us, and so we went and spent the day yesterday kind of running around, and Michelle and I had the chance to go to the shower last night here, and then went home and really just tried to put all my thoughts down. And what I found is completely different than where I had started kind of mentally. And so I asked for your, definitely ask an interest in your prayers. So Matthew 18, and I'm going to read 1-6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" This is a familiar scripture. We all know this scripture very well. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. You know, we had the opportunity to spend time with our sister Rat and the new baby, right? The new baby that's joined the family. A perfect being, right? And as we read this scripture, you know, you can go back and you can see the image of this perfect little, as our sister Lisa said, 6-pound baby. Right? This perfect being that God created. And he's going to use this as an example. And I think this is an example that I want us to carry as we carry through the thoughts today. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." What does that mean? Become as little children. Right, so I'm 50 years old, I'm flawed, mistaken, made tons of mistakes in my life, right? So a long ways away from this perfection that Christ is pointing to. Become as little children. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So we see this example, and I go back to the example of this little 6-pound bundle of perfection that God created, that we saw last night, that we got to witness and be a part of. And in that example that is set for us is what Christ is calling us to. Now, I can go a lot of directions from that one point. Right? How many times in our life do we deviate from that example that's been set before us? And so let's go into it. Right? Let's go into pride. And I wish this could be a little more interactive, but it's not. But if I asked you the question, what comes to your mind when you see the word or hear the word pride? What do you think of? I'm gonna guess, and if I were to ask for a show of hands, I would guess that there would be more than one that would say, when you think of pride, sometimes automatic reaction is, well, that's someone else, right? But that's not me. Do you ever think that? Being honest, my Aunt Michelle, I love it. Thank you, Aunt Michelle. She's nodding her head. Right? How many times within the pureness of our humanness, our mistakes, you know, the mistakes that we make within our lives, how many times do we think about the word pride and we look at someone else and we say, well, that's Joe, but that's not me. Right? How many times does that kind of inflict our minds that, you know, it's, and I'm picking on Joe. Joe knows that, right? But recognize how many times does that come in that we look and we think that it applies to someone else. But what I would argue is that applies to each and every one of us, right? I've heard people say, and you've heard people say, you know, there's as we think about sin, there's no degrees of sin. And I would argue there's no degrees of pride. Pride is pride, right? It is what is an absolute challenge. I saw the phrase, and this is what kind of got me going this way. Pride is spiritual stagnancy. Stagnant, not flowing or moving, and often foul-smelling or stale, showing little or no activity or vitality, inactive or sluggish, right? We all know what the word stagnant means. It's dead. You've been by a pond that's a stagnant pond. You've been by whatever. There's any number of examples. You know, I think of when I used to work in high school at a Cinnamon Sam's, and we had this nasty grease trap. Right? It was stagnant. And when you had to clean it out, it was disgusting. Right? And I think the same thing. Pride is spiritual stagnancy. Right? What does that mean for us? Does that mean that I can sit back and I can just let David do all the work for the church? Right? I can sit back and I can let our pastor do all the work for the church. It falls on each of us. And while I recognize that Dan doing all the work isn't pride, but I'm going to argue that this stagnancy, right, this stagnant action or lack of action, this stagnant look upon someone else and saying that someone else and that's not me, that falls under pride. The scripture, James 4, 6 through and the 7th verse and then skipping down to the 10th. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Right? And you know, one of the things that the ministry got together on Tuesday night this last week, and I can tell you, you know, it was, we talked about several different topics. I would argue that it was a great discussion. Right? There were topics that some of us agreed on and some of us didn't agree on. There's topics that, you know, some people wanted to talk about more of than others. The key is that as brothers, we're able to sit down. Right? Last night, we had the opportunity to come and sit down and gather together. I had a really fun conversation with Debbie and Neva. and Kate and Karen and as people just started to gather together, right? It is that opportunity that we have as brothers and sisters to come together and just have that time together. Right? We need that strength. We need that opportunity to forget about, you know, there are challenges in the world around us, right? There's trials that we face. There's temptations that we face. But the strength together is what builds us up, right? And there are things like pride that I would argue that tear us down. And we're going to talk about some of those. And I've got these as examples, and I'm just going to hop through these really quickly. I'm not going to ask you to turn to these scriptures, but I'm going to use these as maybe a point of, I don't want to say degrees of pride, because I don't believe that. But I would argue that some of these start to fall in and start to kind of challenge our thoughts and kind of pull us in. You know, I was reading this article and it talked about these six maybe areas of pride, and that's what I want to draw your attention to. An unwillingness to learn. Have you ever had that time in your life? And you can use that and think about that in a lot of different ways. Proverbs 9:9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Right? And I think the challenge for us is you know, that opportunity to sit and listen to each other and a willingness to learn from our brothers and sisters. Right? When we reach a point that I'm done listening to you, I'm not willing to engage with you, Rick comes to me and says, Jeff, you know, I think you're struggling with this. Right? And I can look at Rick and my opportunity is to say, Rick, you're crazy. I'm not going to listen to you. Right? Or the opportunity is, all right, what is it in that message that I need to learn? I was asked to take I don't know if it's really a personality test, but it was kind of a deal. It was 100 questions just this last week, and I had to take this deal. And ultimately, they're trying to assess kind of whatever this project I'm going to be working on and kind of what is my style in things, right? And the one thing, and I remember one of the questions, you know, and you had to rank things from high to low, and one of them was a question of, you know, how do you take criticism? Right? And so if you had a spectrum of 1 to 10, 1 being really, really bad, right? 10 being really, really good, how are you at taking criticism? Where would you be on that spectrum? Right? And as brothers and sisters, I would argue that God is calling us to be a 10. Right? He's calling us to be on that end that says, you know, Milo comes to me and Milo says, you know, Jeff, your shoes are really dirty and you need to clean them up and right? Whatever that may be. But what is our human nature? Milo's crazy, just like Rick is crazy, right? And I'm not going to listen to him. And I would argue and I would challenge, you know, here we are, brothers and sisters of two different locals that came together. Tons of backgrounds and experiences, right? I remember growing up and even, and the boys were at the East Local. Right? And now here we are, and years have gone by, and Milo's changed, I've changed, and that recognition, right? And that challenge for each of us is to come together and talk with each other. Milo, I don't agree with you, right? I think you could have had a little better smile up front when you were up here this morning, but know that I love you, right? I don't care what it is, using bad examples, but the idea is that I think we've got to challenge ourselves to learn from each other. Number two, better than others. Right, we see this all over in the world we live. Romans 12, 16th verse. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise on your own conceits. Right, and how many times, again, you know, it's not a matter of in my mind that I think it's pride. It's a matter of, you know, that we see ourselves better than others. We look and we recognize and we make a judgment call against someone else. Right? And the challenge for us, be of the same mind. Right? As his brothers and sisters, how do we be of the same mind when we don't agree on everything? Is God telling us that we're absolutely going to agree on everything? No. I don't think so. I mean, I love the individual, different personalities, the different experiences that we have in our lives. Right? But the opportunity is to recognize, right? It's challenging us to be of the same mind. While we may not completely agree, it's that challenge and that call for us. You know, I don't always agree with David. I don't know a time that I haven't agreed with David, right? Maybe it was him wearing t-shirts up front. Right? But I think, again, you know, God is calling us in that recognition and that challenge for each of us, you know, is how we come together as brothers and sisters. While I don't always agree with Michelle, and Michelle clearly doesn't always agree with me, I love her more than anything in this world. Right? And it is that same exact thing, is that as brothers and sisters, I think we're being called, we're being challenged. Separate the pride out of our hearts. Separate the pride that we look and we say, well, Milo believes this thing differently. Right? I'm really bothered by it. There are people that, you know, sometimes we can't meet together because maybe we disagree on a philosophy or an idea of our religion. And how sad is that? Right? We are brothers and sisters. Right? And no matter what our differences are, we can work past that. Number three, thrives on constant attention. Ephesians 2:10, wherein in the time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Right? And it's that walking in the course of the world, walking in that, you know, that thriving on that ability to be recognized and to be seen. The converse of that, the opposite of that. You know, I heard a brother not too long ago, and he talked about an experience, this brother, and he doesn't live here, he lives somewhere else. And he talked about how he recently lost his wife within the last couple years. And he said when he lost his wife, he said that you know, the first few months, you know, it was that engagement of everybody around him. Right? They were able, people were contacting him and pulling him in. But what happened a year later? Right? What happened as time goes by? And it's not, I'm not trying to catch anybody, right? It's within each of us. You know, we see the lives we live, we see the experiences that we have, and it's that recognition, you know, not just thriving on that constant attention, but those that are hidden, but right in front of us. Right? And that separation of, you know, David is crazy, and I know David is crazy, and he's so different that I'm not going to engage with him, or I don't even think about it. Right? The obvious things that are right in front of us, and we don't think about it. And we're being challenged, or we're being called. Right? As brothers and sisters, there's people in this room that maybe don't feel like that they're able to engage. Right? And I think we're being called. And not just that, at that person that thrives on that constant attention, but even that challenging, and how do we pull out those people that are seeking that attention? Number four, too good for something. Right? So Matthew 20, 27 and 28. This is Christ speaking. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Right? And you know, it's kind of like camp, you know, and I remember years at camp. And I think Trent was telling me the story, and I think one of his campers is here, so probably his camper will get mad. Right, but Trent was he said, Dad, it was brutal to get these guys to clean the toilets at camp. Right, and have you been there? Right, nobody really wants to clean the toilet at camp, right, Joe? It was a long time ago. Right, and you know, I said, well, were you there? Did you dive in and show them how to clean it? Well. Right? And you know, I mean, I think it's that same thing for each of us. None of us are too good for anything. I had a project. We had, in one of my previous jobs, we'd built a new building, and I was trying to set the example for everybody, all of the employees. And I would go over in the morning when we first opened up, and I would clean the bathrooms myself because I had an expectation of how I wanted the bathrooms cleaned. And then it was the next week, Trent was actually going to work for me. He was on spring break. And so I sent Trent over, and I said, all right, every morning I want you in there cleaning the bathroom. And on Monday morning, I'd always have my staff meeting and the manager of that store. I gave him some big gloves so that Trent could go in and clean the bathroom. And all these guys were like, man, Trent, what'd you do to make your dad mad? Right? Making you clean the bathroom. And he told me that you know what? My dad would never ask me to do something he wouldn't do himself. Right? And it's that same thing for each of us, right? There's nothing that if we are called upon that we shouldn't and can't do, right? And I think that we're being called. It's not, you know, we can't let that pride, that innocent, what we may view as innocent pride, pull us down, right? We're being challenged, we're being called. Number five, critical, being too critical. And I know no one here can relate to any of these, and so I recognize 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Right? What's the opposite of that? I would argue it's being critical. Right? And that, you know, that natural human reaction to things. Number six, and the last one to kind of keep moving here. Refuse to ask for help. Matthew 6:10, Christ speaking again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right? I'm reminded of, and I'm going to skip down to another one. I'm reminded of Proverbs 16, the 18th verse. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, I'm not sharing these scriptures just because I'm trying to catch somebody that's done something wrong, right? The idea is that truly, I want to spark a thought in us, right? I want to spark that same thought of, you know, that challenge for each of us as we continue to grow, right? I think our opportunity is so many times, who are the people that we meet in the world outside of here and how do we engage with them, right? What impression do we give? I've shared this example before. Michelle hates to travel with me. When I travel, I want to be the first person on the plane because I want to know I got that spot overhead that I can put my bag in. If you can relate to me, you know, just nod your head, yes. Right? And you know, to me, I worry about stupid stuff like that. How crazy is that? Right? But what ends up happening is you know, I'm going to get my way up into the front of the line so I can be the first one on. Right, the most craziest thing. And what's even worse is I don't even recognize the person standing beside me. Right, it's not that I'm trying to step in front of David. Right, it's the idea of is that I'm not even paying attention. Right, and my hope is less about, you know, sparking a thought or kind of a gut check on being too critical or a gut check of being better than others, right? But I think it's truly just a simple reminder for us, recognizing the calling that we have, right? I can open the door for one of my brothers and sisters here, but do I open the door for someone as I'm out, you know, out in the world? Continuing on, and this was the story, so everybody knows this story, right? This is not a story that anyone should not know. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, right? We know that story, we learn that story. And I'm going to read from it. So I'm going to go to Joshua, the 6th chapter. All right. And I'm going to read. And I'm going to, there's a couple points that I want to call. Right? So if you're a Sunday school teacher or a Bible school teacher, and when I tell you the story of Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, what do you think about? This is where you get to interact. Aunt Michelle, I know you're willing to speak up, so. The walls fell down, right? And why did the walls fall down? Trumpets, right? Right? But why did the walls fall down even further? Because they obeyed. Right? And this is the example exactly to what my Aunt Michelle said that I want to draw your thought to. Right? So if God comes to you and says, you know, Gary, so you're gonna take your army and you're gonna go out and you're gonna circle this 7 times, right? 7 days in a row. You're gonna get up and you're not gonna say a word until all of a sudden, right? Your challenge is, and what you know is in front of you is what? Joshua was told to do what? To overtake the city, right? And so in my humanness, I know what my reaction would be. God's telling me to go from point A to point B, right? Point A is I'm here, and he's telling me what? To go tear down the walls, right? And he's telling him, you know, A, be patient, and do circle the city multiple times, right? But what's your natural reaction? Well, I mean... Uncle Pat can fix everything. I'm going to call Uncle Pat. We're going to figure out this little deal, and we can do it in one day. Right? Does that ever enter your mind? right? And it's a challenge for us, and I truly believe it's a challenge for us, and it's a lesson, right? The lesson that the Bible school song says, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Awesome story. But the challenge for us, and what I would call for us today is to hear God's voice, to hear God's plan, to be humble enough, to remove the pride in our lives that we have the ability to hear God's plan. Joshua 6, starting at the first verse. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Right? Clearly, we're recognizing the battle that's in front of him. Right? I've shut the city for you, Joshua. Your opportunity is in front of you. Right? Day one then, right? So, okay, let's go. But we're called to be patient. We're called to be challenged, to think through this. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Right? I'm not just going to go around once and all of a sudden the walls are going to come tumbling down, right? We're being challenged. We're being called to do something specifically to God's plan. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets and the ark of the covenant, and the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest, and blew with the trumpets. And the rearward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And on the 2nd day, and you get the point, and it continues on, and what ultimately happens? The 7th day, how many times did they circle the city? 7 times, right? And then what happened? The walls came tumbling down, right? And the idea is, and the point that I want to try to drive at in really is that, you know, for each of us, I know so many times, you know, we feel the prompting, we feel the lead, we feel the calling of the Lord, right? It's unimaginable, you know, what the challenge was in front of them. I was reading a little bit this week, and it was talking about what they expected the walls of this city to be like. Major walls, a major barrier to get in and to tackle. Did the trumpets themselves or anything that Joshua did cause the walls to fall down? No. Right? Could the walls have fallen down the first day when God said, go take the city? Sure. But it wasn't in God's plan. Right? And I think the same thing for each of us. You know, I think so many times we're called to be, you know, pass beyond some of these things, you know. We're called to have a willingness to learn, right? We're called to be able to listen to the prompting, to the encouragement, to the challenge of our brothers and sisters. All right, we're going to skip forward. Luke 19. And we're going to read about what town? Anybody? Luke 19, Jericho. Absolutely. Right, and this was the story that kind of started, and I wanted to start with, so Luke 19, and the story is about Jesus, when Jesus enters into Jericho, and he sees Zacchaeus, and he interacts with Zacchaeus. Luke 19, starting at the first verse, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, right? So what was Zacchaeus' role in his life? Tax collector. What was a tax collector? Sean said bad, right? My funny story was Braden, you know, called me up one day and he had to get ready to do his taxes on his own for the first time. And he said, man, Dad, I know why people vote Republicans now. This is crazy. That was just a little joke, right? So what was a tax collector, though? Who was the tax collector? Who was he serving? Rome, right? And what was happening? He was collecting money from people, and he would keep a portion of the money himself, right? And then he would send a portion of the money to Rome, right? And recognize, you know, within the communities, was Zacchaeus viewed as a good guy, do you think, in Jericho? Absolutely not, right? But he was a guy that had that this was his job, this was his responsibility. And so what happens? And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, going to the third verse, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. Zacchaeus, a little guy, came into the city. There was a crowd of people around Jesus, and he couldn't see, right? And he couldn't get in. And so we continue to read. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Right, so we're told what happens, and if you read ahead, you could cheat, right? But what happens? What do the people around them say? Zacchaeus, you know, here's this tax collector, this horrible guy, and what do you think they're saying? Yeah, freaking out. Wait, he's a bad guy, Jesus. Don't call on him. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Right, and so, you know, I think so many times, there's so many things that we could call out. And in these 10 verses, I think a ton of things, but some notes that I jotted down. Right, we tend to get stuck in deep ruts of our own sin, loving what we are doing more than God's truth. How many of us, right? And when you know, if you were to be completely honest and you hear this story, and if you were there that day, what would your reaction be to Zacchaeus that is being called by Christ to come down out of the tree, and I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus? Right? The natural human reaction is, wait a second, right? But we our own selves, right? I would argue we're stuck in this rut of our own sin that we see something else. Right? It's recognizing that I don't want to recognize how bad, I keep using the word recognize. Braden's going to give me a hard time about that. Right? But it's, I don't even want to make notice of my own filthiness that I'm going to point the finger at somebody else. Right? Pride will keep us from Jesus. We can either be pride-like or childlike. And I think that's what we're being called to do today. Just as Jesus said, you know, I must stay at Zacchaeus' house, you know, it's that calling of God to us and frankly that calling on us to others. So I wanna close with some final thoughts. And hopefully you understand my point today, and definitely, I've heard this multiple times up here, you know, when we preach, you know, so many times the minister will say, you know, the sermon isn't for you, I know this sermon is for me, and I truly know this sermon is for me, because what I know is that so many times, you know, whether it's on purpose or whether it's just my own ignorance, and I would like to think a lot of times it's because of my own ignorance that I don't see that. You know, I don't see that person that may be struggling, or I don't see that, you know, that own sin in my own life, and I think we're being challenged for that. I think we're being challenged as a church. I think we're being challenged as a people, right? I think our beliefs are being challenged all around us. Those things that we believe in, why do we believe? Why do we even believe that there's a God, right? Why do we even believe that he sent his son, right? Some of those simple things that we grew up knowing are being challenged in our lives. John 17:17, sanctify them through they truth. They word is truth. I wrote that down wrong. Sorry about that. Milo's correcting me and I'm not even listening to him. All right. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. Right? And you know, I mean, I think there's so many things that we can look at in that. Luke 18:17, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Right? I think we're being called to that. I think we're being challenged to that. I think we're being challenged to simplify our heart and simplify our minds. Right? Don't look too deep into comments that someone makes to you. Right? Don't go on the offensive automatically. I find that in my professional life. There's things where, you know, I'm trying to change a bunch of things in my job right now. And my natural reaction is, you know, this is crazy, right? Somebody's been doing this job for a long, long time, and I'm sure there's a reason why they do it, right? Same thing in our spiritual walk as brothers and sisters. You know, there's things that we believe, and we may not completely agree, but I think we're being challenged, right? We're being challenged to say, I need to listen. I need to understand. Tell me more. Luke 18:9, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eye into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down into his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. My hope and my prayer is that we all humble ourselves. Thank you.